Hi, thanks for listening to Alt Latino. Before we start a very special edition of the show, let me tell you about another NPR podcast, Ask Me Another. It's like a trivia night, but a lot funnier. And on the latest episode, Sir Patrick Stewart talks about living in Brooklyn, becoming a knight, and his new show, Blunt Talk. You can play along with Ask Me Another at npr.org/podcast or on the NPR One app.
Tamalito de uva, canatalle na casero, camuesa, plátanos, higos, el frute, llegó el frutero.
For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garz. What we're listening to is Peruvian singer and poet Nicomedes Santa Cruz singing about a fruit salesman. This week on Alt Latino, we're talking about fruit. Not just because fruit is delicious and good for you, not just because Latin America has the best fruit, but because fruit is a really powerful symbol in Latin culture and in music. It represents love, sex, patriotism, country, and a lot of blood has been shed over the fruit industry in Latin America. Felix Contreras is away today, and we have a guest host, Marlon Bishop. Marlon is a producer for another show you should be tuning into every week, Latino USA. Marlon also has been a Latin music reporter for years. I really love Marlon's work, and I'm excited that he's joining us today. Hi, Marlon.
Hey, Jazz. What's going on?
How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today.
So I'm really glad we started off with El Frutero. This is a very typical Afro-Peruvian song, and Nicomedes Santa Cruz is, you know, he's like a pillar of Afro-Peruvian music.
Yeah, he's the classic guy.
Let's listen to a little bit more of El Frutero.
Se va a malograr. Si no quiere usted comprar, se va a malograr. Si no quiere usted comprar, se va a malograr.
A lot of our listeners wrote in when they found out that we were going to do a show about fruit songs and said, you can't do a show about fruit songs without playing one of the most iconic songs ever written, Buscando Guayaba by Rubén Blades. This is about a man who travels the world searching for the perfect guava and he can never find it. Of course, the song is about a lot more than that, but let's listen to the song first and then we'll go ahead and talk about what else it means.
Me fui pa'l monte buscando guayaba por la vereda del 8 y el 2. Y aunque encontré una casa dorada, esa guayaba no la hallaba yo. Mucho he viajado por todo el mundo y nunca pude encontrar una guayaba que me gustara y detuviera mi caminar. Y aunque encontré una casa dorada, esa guayaba no pude hallar.
Buscando guayaba ando yo.
¿Cómo?
Que tenga sabor, que tenga mento. Buscando guayaba ando yo. Que tenga sabor, que tenga mento.
Y el 2.
Buscando guayaba ando yo, que tenga sabor.
So this is one of my favorite salsa songs ever, really. It's off the album Siembra, which is, you know, kind of, for me, the most, one of the most iconic Fania albums of all time. So if he's not talking about a guava jazz, what is he talking about?
There's a lot of double entendre in this song, but you know what I like? It's subtle. It's never crass. Blades is obviously talking about looking for a woman. The way he's describing the guava is so sensual. You know, he wants a guava that has a lot of flavor, that is very fine, that is dark. You know, Latin Americans are not the first to talk about fruit as a metaphor for sensuality. It's kind of existed as long as art has.
Totally, yeah.
But I think we've certainly perfected it as an art form. And, you know, it is a very sensual song, but it's, like I said, it's never crass. I also love the sound play with words, which Rubén Blades, I mean, there's a reason why they call him the El Maestro, right? Just, he's musically amazing, but also lyrically, it's fantastic. I mean, check out the line, esa guayaba no hallaba yo. That, which is very hard for an Argentine to say that, but
lots of shuzz.
I could not find that guayaba. And also a really cool detail about this song, he says he's looking for a guayaba that has mendo. And a lot of times lyric pages and people who listen think that he's saying he's looking for a guayaba that has menthol, like menthol.
Like a cigarette?
Yeah. But it's actually, I just found out when I was researching for this show, it's not menthol. It's a Caribbean slang of African origin, mendo, and it means spark, life. So he's looking for a guava with spark, with life.
So what song's next?
Why don't we go to La Reina, Celia Cruz, and Pulpa de Tamarindo, or Tamarind Pulp.
So let me guess, she's not talking about just tamarindo also in this situation.
No, she's not. The lyrics are also really beautiful and sensual. She is saying, delicious tamarind pulp, that is the flavor of your kisses, that is the bittersweet flavor of your mouth, a flavor that provokes me, a flavor that maddens me, the flavor of tropical love. This is how I would spend my life, in the honey of your lips, like a bird who is a prisoner, with her wings broken, unable to fly.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a little dark and ominous towards
the end.
There's
a lot going on there.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear this, of course, there's this this sensual metaphor that the fruit is, but I kind of think about this nostalgic part of it, too. You know, both Celia Cruz and Rubén Blades were living and making so-called tropical music in very non-tropical New York. At least Rubén Blades was, you know, was living in New York throughout a lot of his career. And those are places where you can't find fruits like guava or tamarindo. You know, you would find them at any old grocery store, maybe at a specialty store. And so singing about tropical fruits is kind of a way of instantly evoking their homes in the Caribbean or Central America. And I think for probably a lot of listeners of these albums, you know, it probably connected to them as well, U.S. Latinos who were missing the tropics. You know, the song Would It, you know, we don't hear as many songs about, like, applesauce.
So we've been talking about these very delicate, romantic songs about fruit. But I have such a soft spot in my heart for a more crass sense of humor. And I want to take you back to a folk song by the kings of tongue-in-cheek music, the masters of double entendres.
If it's a folk song, how can it be that crass?
Oh, you get ready. This is from the Jarochos.
I'm not sure if I'm ready. This sounds like it's going to be intense.
This is from the Jarochos of Mexico. That's the people from the port of Veracruz. So, you know, think sailor's sense of humor. A style we've talked a lot about on this show. This is the song La Guanábana. It's very traditional. This version is from Los Sensotles, from the Bay Area in California.
Guanábana dulce y azucarada y azucarada.
Guanábana dulce y azucarada.
Ay, chupa que chupa, chupa que chupa, chupa en la madrugada.
Que chupa, re chupa, chupa, re chupa, chupa y no saco nada.
Yeah, this is like barely concealed. This is straight dirty.
And we have to kind of mention what they're talking about. Guanabana, it's a very simple fruit for sucking. All you have to do is suck and take the seed out.
La guanabana chupar es una fruta tan suave.
La guanabana chupar es una fruta tan suave.
Se deshace al paladar y solo
Hi, let's take a quick break from the music so I can remind you to listen to Ask Me Another, the very entertaining podcast from NPR. You can hear it at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. Now let's get back to the music.
About this, it's like a traditional folk song, and it's actually really hard to place the author on it because it's traditional of the port of Veracruz, and that's the thing about Son Jarocho, you know, it's so picaresque and racy. It's almost like limericks, and if you think about where it's born in the port of Veracruz, there's so much back and forth, and you know, ports usually are not places of refinement and high society, but they are places of great cultural exchange.
I have to say that puts like a new standard on thinly veiled metaphor, because it's just like, I guess for those who don't know, we should mention the guanabana is a fruit that's often called soursop in English. Have you ever had one, Jess?
That is actually my favorite fruit.
It's so good. I've only had it in juice form, but like I assume there's a non-juice form of this fruit as well.
It's like a mix, I think, between like pineapple and banana and strawberry. It's just amazing.
Maybe like a little pear in there. I don't know.
It's so good. And I've heard that they don't sell it here because it stinks. Like it smells. It has a really strong smell. I love soursop so much.
All right. So now that we've gotten through that, so tell us a little more about the lyrics maybe.
You know, I know they're not very thinly veiled at all, but I do like that they have like this dark little undertone, which exists a lot in Son Jarocho. It's like a little bit of a threat underneath, which is a little more thinly veiled.
You know, I just wanted to add that I spent some time in Veracruz reporting on Son Jarocho.
You did an awesome series on it, right?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I did a show for Afropop Worldwide about the African influence in Mexico, and Son Jarocho is kind of one of the biggest expressions of that. Anyway, so at the parties, which are called fandangos, as you know, people kind of stand around this wooden platform, and a man and a woman will go up to dance together, and they never touch. You know, it's not like salsa where you're in this embrace or tango.
In fact, sometimes it's segregated by gender. Sometimes the men dance by themselves, right?
Yes, there are some. I don't know how exactly that works, but there's some songs where people dance with the same gender. But then there's the time when the man and the woman come up, And there's really an intense sensuality about the dance, even without touching, because their eyes are locked the entire time. And in a way, that's almost more intimate than touch. And they're kind of also pounding out beats with their feet. I remember having the experience of thinking, whoa, like, you know, this is a folk dance, but there's there is something very sensual about it. You know, that said, I'm not entirely surprised that the Jarocho song is the dirtiest one we heard yet.
The next song I brought is a tango, which is called Bitter Fruit. Again, a lot of different versions of this tango. I brought one by singer Lidia Borda, Fruta Amarga, Bitter Fruit.
En aquella noche larga maduró la fruta amarga de esta enorme soledad.
I love that line. En aquella noche amarga maduró la fruta amarga. That long night, the bitter fruit turned ripe.
Of course, the fruit is bitter in the tango song. You Argentinos can be so gloomy.
El frío alucinante de un instante. Me cegó, fue en un viento de locura, sin ternura, sin perdón. Fue en el grito enronquecido de un amor enloquecido de dolor. Eras la luz del sol y la canción feliz. Y la llovizna gris en mi ventana era remanso fiel, mi duende soñador y jazminero en flor. Era mañana, suave murmullo, viento de loma, cálido arrullo de la paloma. Ya no será jamás aroma del rosal, frescor de manantial en mi destino. Solo será la voz que me haga recordar que en un instante atroz te hice llorar. Ya no estás. Y el recuerdo es un espejo que refleja desde lejos tu tristeza y mi maldad. Ya no estás. Y tu ausencia que se alarga tiene gusto a fruta amarga, a castigo y soledad. Corazón, una nube puso un velo sobre el cielo de los dos, y una nube solamente de repente me perdió. Nube sin sentido, sin clemencia, sin olvido, sin perdón. Eras la luz del sol y la canción feliz, y la llovizna gris en mi ventana. Eras remanso fiel y duende soñador y jazminero en flor. Era mañana, suave murmullo. Cálido arrullo de la paloma, ya no será jamás aroma del rosal, frescor de manantial en mi destino. Solo será la voz que me haga recordar que en un instante atroz te hice llorar.
So we've been talking about fruit as a metaphor for love and sex. The next song I want to play is about fruit and patriotism and love of country. I love this song. It's called I Shall Eat That Cactus Fruit. And it's by the iconic Mexican singer Jorge Negrete. Here it is, Me de comer esa tuna.
Guadalajara en un llano, México en una laguna.
I'm going to eat that tuna.
Let's eat it.
Tuna means cactus, the cactus fruit. This is from the 1945 film by the same name, Me de comer esa tuna, I shall eat that cactus fruit. It's from from the golden era of Mexican cinema, starring singer Jorge Negrete, who was like the heartthrob of his day. And it was a really interesting time for Mexico. The U.S. and Europe were busy with their wars. The Mexican cinema industry really got this chance, this opening to flourish. And at the same time, the Mexican Revolution had happened not so long ago. Jorge Negrete's father fought in the Mexican Revolution. And that was a very bloody conflict. It shook Mexican society to its absolute core. And a lot of the films that were coming out at the beginning of this golden era of Mexican cinema were about processing what had happened in that revolution and about creating a storyline, a version and a mythology of it and who its heroes were. So you had a lot of films about the Mexican Revolution, kind of like you see a lot of films today about 9/11 and about U.S. involvement in the Middle East. And I think, Marlon, it just goes to show you how cultures construct their narratives of who they are largely through music and through film.
And apparently through fruit as well.
Well, yeah. So you had a lot of films like this, like I Shall Eat That Cactus Fruit, which even if they didn't directly talk about the Mexican Revolution, they talked about celebrating the rural areas of Mexico and the countryside and the hardworking people and the fighting people. So the full phrase for this song is, He de comer esa tuna aunque me espine la mano. I will eat that cactus fruit even if its thorns pierce my hands, which has come to be a popular phrase. You know, it means I'm going to get this, whatever it takes.
And I can definitely tell the kind of patriotic side of there as
right?
well. You know, especially, you know, the cactus, of course, references the cactus on the Mexican
right.
flag. Even if thorns pierce my hands, it's kind of this image of maybe someone going to war and fighting for their country, even if, you know, they may die from
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's considered a very patriotic song. Let's stay in the 1940s, but go a little bit deeper south into Latin America.
I wonder why does everybody look at me and then begin to talk about the Christmas tree. I hope that means that everyone is glad to see the lady in the tutti frutti hat. The gentlemen, they want to make me say, si, si, but I don't tell them that, I tell them, yes, sirree. And maybe that is why they come for dates to me, the lady in the tutti frutti hat.
This is so horrible.
It's the ultimate cringeworthy. It's, not only is it cringeworthy, it is cringy.
Yeah. This is the song, The Lady in the Tutti Frutti Hat, from the 1943 film, The Gang's All Here.
Oof.
It is, oh man, that is a difficult movie to watch. Starring Brazilian icon Carmen Miranda.
To explain the reason why we're cringing, and, you know, if you ever get a chance to see this sequence as well, you'll especially see. It's just the most stereotypical portrayal of a Latin American woman possible, you know?
Yeah.
Treated kind of like a bimbo and hypersexualized. And, you know, kind of the fruit covering Carmen Miranda became kind of this metaphor for how Americans saw Latin America, and especially how maybe a white American tourist might see a Latin American woman.
Something to be eaten and consumed.
Yeah, like, and
literally.
Exactly. And so obviously people in Brazil didn't really like this because, you know, they'd see her images and be like, that's what we are? Okay. And so when she came back to Brazil after going to Hollywood, she was booed off the stage in this one incident because, you know, she was seen as kind of, by some, because she was also very popular, but she was seen by some as kind of a cultural traitor because of this.
Brazilian senoritas, they are sweet and shy. They dance and play together when the sun is high. But when the tropic moon is in the sky, they have a different kind of time. And even I forget that I'm the lady in the tutti-frutti hat.
She was really popular. She was so popular that one company based its famous commercial on her.
Oh, I think I know what we're about to hear.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. And when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad. No, not yet, my dear. That greenish way you're looking means that you are ripe for cooking.
How about me?
The thing about the song that kind of intrigues me is that it's kind of like the commercial is teaching Americans about bananas.
Oh, it is.
Because people weren't really that used to them. So it's a little outdated because they're like, you can put them in a salad.
Like, who puts a banana in a salad?
Maybe a fruit salad, but like, that's the only case I can think of.
We're going to put this video on our website, npr.org/altlatino. But basically, it's from the 1940s. It's by the United Fruit Company, and it's a banana dressed as a woman with a fruit hat. Her name is Chiquita Banana. It's basically Carmen Miranda in banana form, voiced by Monica Lewis.
It's proof that they clearly just thought of Carmen Miranda as walking fruit. She was basically a banana.
Let's move from the central to the political and the legacy of the United Fruit Company, a company based in the U.S., which has a complicated history in Latin America.
And that's where, of course, the term Banana Republic came from. You know,
right.
The fruit companies kind of treated these countries, especially in Central America, as if they were their kind of personal fiefdoms, you know.
They
were. And in Honduras, where I've done a bunch of work, you know, that was the classic Banana Republic at one point, you know. A fruit company lawyer once even became the president, meaning the company basically literally ran the country.
They were known to bring down governments, and they were known to prop up dictatorship, and it all eventually, I'm simplifying, but it all eventually boiled into armed conflict. One notorious incident was the banana massacre. In 1928, the United Fruit workers on the Caribbean coast of Colombia went on strike. Colombian army troops allegedly opened fire on a crowd of strikers. Estimates vary in the casualties between 47 to 2,000. Gabriel Garcia Marquez later wrote about the banana massacres in his book, 100 Years of Solitude. There's this one line that I love in which he writes, "Look at the mess we've gotten ourselves into just because we invited a gringo to eat some bananas."
Yeah, totally. And it is amazing that the banana was so desirable that it could topple governments. It's crazy. And, you know, something I learned while reporting in Honduras for Latino USA is that a lot of people believe that the dominance of the fruit industry kind of set up Central America for failure, you know, these kind of deep institutional failures, because the fruit industry handled everything and the countries didn't develop some very important pieces of infrastructure. And, you know, so that legacy survives to this day.
I want to finish today's show with a song that has been played a lot. I don't think people stop and listen to the lyrics a lot. This is Harry Belafonte doing the Banana Boat song.
Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't
Taliman, tali mi banana.
It's originally a Jamaican folk song, Data Light. It's sung in the voice of a banana plantation worker, and he's been picking bananas all night long. It's finally daytime, and he's asking Mr. Tallyman, come count how many bananas I picked, because I want to go home.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this song a million times, and I never heard that sad element of it. It's really true.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
And on that note, it's time for us to go home. I want to thank our guest host, Marlon Bishop from NPR's Latino USA.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Did you have a good time?
Absolutely. And now I'm never going to look at fruit the same ever again. Thanks, Jez.
I hope you'll look at it even better.
Yeah, exactly.
Fruit's good for you. Marlon, where can people find your work? Tell us your Twitter handle.
Sure. If you don't subscribe already, definitely go to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe to Latino USA. And you could also find me on my Twitter at @MarloniusThunk.
You can find us at NPR's Alt Latino. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We love hearing from you. And don't forget to leave your comments on our website, npr.org/altlatino. I'm Jasmine Garst. Felix Contreras will be in again next week. This has been Alt Latino.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day. Is that day? Is that day?